Good morning, everybody, and my, my, what a rainy few days that we have had. And it's not over, so be careful next week. They say we've got about 100 mil coming then, so everybody just be aware of what's happening. I know there's a lot of people who's flooded in and the roads, some of them are still blocked. I know the Hastings River is going down. So Matt and I just decided to, hey, let's call our services for today and we'll go back to COVID schedule. So here we are. So let's get started. Today I want to let you in on something that happened to me. I recently heard a song by Casting Crown that was entitled Starts Right Here. I'll play it for you here in just a couple of minutes. But first, let me set the scene before I play the song. At Warhope Baptist Church, we have been incredibly blessed to be able to make a difference in people's lives financially. I am so grateful for that. We've honored our South African missionaries who have just retired and helped them get a start. We've just sent off $5,000 to Martin in Zimbabwe to help alleviate the hunger in that country, which was caused by so many people losing their income because of the coronavirus. They really don't have any options, so we sent some money to help pay for some food drops to help them survive. Closer to home, we've got the Barnabas Project, and we've been able to help a lot of people, even recently, who have gone through catastrophic circumstances and help them get back on their feet. And let me just mention, with the major flood at the Hastings River that we've just experienced, there's going to be a lot more people who are struggling, and they may need some help. So let me just say, if you know of somebody who is in need, let us know, and maybe we'll be able to help them. So here's another opportunity that we can touch people's lives through the Barnabas Project. Again, I praise God for the opportunity to financially and corporately make a difference in a lot of people's lives. And you know, with this, we can pretty much just sit back and be comfortable. And you know, I know I'm grateful for the faithfulness of our people and the faithfulness of God in giving, so we could do things corporately. So again, we could sit back and just relax and say, we're doing our job. Then this song comes along and it really challenges me. And I'm going to be playing it for you. Let me say this. I want you to listen to the words, because it might challenge you on a personal level. I hope you heard what I heard. Well, let's review the first verse. We want our coffee in the lobby. We watch our worship on the screen. And that's what we're doing today, but the circumstances pretty much dictated it. We've got a rock star preacher. I don't think so. But the rock star preacher sometimes who won't wake us from our dreams. We want our blessings in our pocket and we keep our missions overseas. But for the hurting in our cities, would we even cross the street? Let me review those last two lines. But for the hurting in our cities, would we even cross the street? That's what hit me, and it hit me hard. Like I said before, I know we do a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job corporately, but what do we do personally on a one-on-one basis? Well, here's another question. Should we do more personally? Well, to find out, let's go back to one of the best known commands from Jesus for his disciples and then through to the church. And we'll find that in Acts chapter 1. So turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Jesus had just risen from the dead, and he had just defeated death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah for that. And then he decides to give some final instructions to his followers. Acts 1, verses 4 through 5. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You have heard of me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And that's what they did. After Jesus ascended, they went to, they stayed in Jerusalem, and then Pentecost happened. And at that time, the Holy Spirit empowered them. And then he goes on, verse number 16. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, would you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Wow. Jesus had just talked about the Holy Spirit coming, and they started asking about the second coming. The disciples did something that a lot of us do. They started asking him about when his return was going to take place. You see, in their mind, his coming would be a nationalistic victory, and Israel would then be restored to its former glory. And they had it all wrong. There was something that they needed to do, so Jesus set them straight, verses 7 and 8. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." Do us all to keep that in mind. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Basically, he says, listen, your main objective is not to know when I'm returning, but your objective is to be witnesses of me. When the Holy Spirit comes and then fills you, your job is to be witnesses of me throughout the world. Well, we do a lot of things in the church, a lot of good things in the church. But are we doing what Jesus said for us to do? Will you be my witnesses? And as far as I'm concerned, this is a personal one-on-one witness. Now, here's an important question. How are we going with our personal witness for Jesus? Well, that's the part that challenged me with this song. And I hope it's the part that challenged you. Now, I know the pushback on this. Most of us would say that we just don't like the responses that we get when we share our faith, because we get negative responses, and persecution could come under those circumstances. Listen, I don't like it either. But when we don't talk about Jesus, there is something else that just might be excluded from our lives. Well, while reading over what the apostles did in the book of Acts, I noticed they were hammered hard for being witnesses for Jesus. That's what they were doing. Stephen and James even lost their lives. But Peter once was in prison for preaching the gospel. And during this incarceration, God sends an angel in the middle of the night. He wakes Peter, and he walks out of prison without anyone knowing that. That was a miracle. Another time, Peter and John are in prison for being witnesses for Jesus again. God sets them free. And the amazing thing about this is they walked out and the guards didn't even know that they had gone. And the next day, it embarrassed the daylights out of their super religious accusers. Another miracle. Now let's look over at Paul. Paul was on his way to Rome to be a witness for Jesus, and he ends up shipwrecked. But God spares everyone on the ship in a miraculous way. Paul makes a campfire, and while he's making the campfire, a viper comes out and latches onto his hand. Paul just shakes it off into the fire and walks away without any problem. Another miracle. Those are magnificent miracles of God, and I believe these kinds of miracles will follow those who have a bold witness for Jesus. Now, is there any wonder that we're not seeing miracles in our lives? If we're not giving a personal witness, we just may not see those miracles. Well, here's one more situation that God did something amazing. Let's go back to the Apostle Paul. Paul gets to Rome, and he had a plan of evangelizing Rome and to tell the people about Jesus. His plan is that the gospel would spread through the old ancient Roman roads around the world. But he gets arrested, and his plans come crashing down. But God had a better plan. Paul was arrested, and he was under house arrest for 24/7. He had Roman guards who were with him, who had to watch him and stay with him 24/7. So Paul changes his plan and pursues God's plan, and he starts witnessing for Jesus to the Roman guards who can't get away from him. Talk about a captive audience. What Paul did is quite amazing. And the gospel spread. So, did God's plan work? Well, let's just see. Look at what Paul wrote while he was in prison. Philippians chapter 4, verses 21 and 22. He says, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household." Well, where did they come from? I believe those are the ones that Paul led to Christ while he was incarcerated. What an amazing miracle. From that, the message of Jesus spread around the world to you and me, all because Paul was arrested for being a witness, and he continued being a witness. But maybe you're still not convinced that you should be a personal witness for Jesus. Well, you might just be saying, "I can't do that." Well, in my opinion, I believe you can. And let me show you why I think so. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And you will be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth." So, you're right. You can't personally be a witness for Jesus. But when the Holy Spirit of God fills you and empowers you, you can do those things that you couldn't normally do because you're empowered by God Himself. And I personally believe that God gives us His power as we choose to be witnesses for Jesus. And I also believe that God follows them with the miraculous. And when that power comes, hang on to your hat. Let's return to the words of our song. Will we walk across the room or walk across the street to help someone who's struggling? Then will you look for the opportunity to share with them the most important thing that you could share with them? Maybe not at that moment. I don't believe in taking advantage of a catastrophe to do that. Help the person, then make the connection, and then look for an opportunity to share your faith later on. Because telling them that Jesus died for them is a magnificent thing, and it could change their life and their eternity. So let me close with a poem that shows just how important that we walk across the room. Keith Ferguson sent this to me, and it's from Buddy Smith. "Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men his way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible the world will ever read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message, giving in deed and word. But what if the type be crooked? What if the print be blurred? What if our hands are busy with other work than his? What if our feet are walking where sin's attraction is found? What if our tongues are speaking things that his lips would spurn? How can we hope to help him and hasten his return if we stop being his word to a lost and dying world? You see, you and I are the only Jesus that some people will ever see. Now, it's time that we walk across the room or walk across the street. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Look after our people as they are still struggling with the flood. I know some have already experienced losses. I pray that you'll be with them. Now, Father, help us to get our heads around this, to be personal witnesses for Jesus. Yes, we do a great job corporately, but we need to be personal witnesses around our community. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.